Working Cows Podcast, episode 286. This episode is brought to you by the Wineglass Ranch.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. This is Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows Podcast, recorded exclusively in the C90 Ocean Minerals Studios. And this episode is brought to you by the Wineglass Ranch. Are you looking for easy keeping cows? On Wednesday, April 12th, in Oglala, Nebraska, at Oglala Livestock Auction, 80 head of easy keeping cows will sell. The Wineglass Easy Keepers are from a genetic base of Angus and Hereford cross cows. They have a low frame score of 3 to 4, low milk output, easy fleshing, low input, foraging experts. Just like Jim Garrish said, she should rustle her own grub, right? They graze 365 days a year. If you want more information, you can contact them at wineglassranchinc.com and get more information about when and where they'll sell and what it will take to get them on your place. So, if you're interested in some easy fleshing cows, they're selling Wednesday, April 12th at Oglala Livestock Auction in Oglala, Nebraska. Very excited to be joined today once again by Elaine Fraze. Elaine, of course, is the farm family expert. And today we're going to talk about living the intentional life and really about what stage of life are we in and what do we need to get to the next place or to stay where we're at if we're in a good place. So really excited for this conversation about living the intentional life and understanding where we're at and making sure that we're making the most of where we're at. We're getting all of what we are intended to experience from this stage of life out of it so that we can benefit from it as God intended. So Elaine, welcome back to the Working Cows Podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Always a treat to be with you, Mr. Clay.
So I had the privilege of sitting in on another one of your workshops in Rapid City, South Dakota. And one of the things that you just touched on there that I felt like, well, that there's an episode there for sure, is kind of the idea of living the intentional life. And so I wanted to kind of let you define that. What are you talking about? What do you mean by that when you say that? And then we'll dive into some of the different life stages that we're in and how to live intentionally in those life stages. So how do you define the intentional life?
Well, I always have an interesting conversation with people say, oh, where are you going to speak next, Elaine? Must be nice to be you. And I go, well, there's always a backstory, right? So my definition of an intentional life and my mindset as a Hudson Institute trained coach, where I trained 20 years ago this year in Santa Barbara, California, is called the cycle of renewal, is that we all go through various stages in our life. And for some of us, it can be in our personal lives. For some of us, it could be in our working lives, whatever. And for some of us, that's totally integrated. So for me, my life is one life. But my intentional life means I'm in this stage right now of going for it, where I'm feeling good, I'm healthy, our goals are aligned, things are great on our farm. And every day we wake up as a gift. And you and I are both Jesus followers. And each day is a gift. And so it's making choices and being intentional about how you're living your life rather than just drifting or floating through it, Clay. And I know some listeners right now are listening to this who are in a very sad state, which we call the doldrums, and they don't feel like they have a choice. So I as a coach, I used to end my speeches with, it's your farm, it's your family, and it's your choice. And I want listeners from a coaching perspective to adopt the mindset, it is a new day, it's a gift, and I get to choose. So what am I choosing intentionally about how I'm living?
Sure. Yeah, very good. Appreciate that. So what are these stages of renewal? What are the stages of renewal that we're going to be talking about here today?
Right. So this is the proprietary information of the Hudson Institute of Santa Barbara in California. And the first day, so I would like listeners, if they're sitting at their kitchen table, that's great, and have a piece of paper, they can draw an irrigation circle and then put it into four quadrants. Or in your mind, if you're driving, listening to this, just think of an irrigation circle in four quadrants. So the top left one is called go for it, which is where you're in phase one, you're fully aligned, you're healthy, you're pursuing your goals, you're evaluating, you're planning, you're achieving. I can see all the ranting for profit people listening to this saying, yes, I finally learned how to make the cows work for me kind of thing, right? Or you're in your church as a preacher, Clay, and your elder board is aligned with you. Everybody's experiencing unity and community. It's a really sweet spot to be. And that's where ultimately we all want to be. But if you reflect back on the great pause, which other people call COVID, the pandemic, and what that's done to people in terms of pulling them apart from connection, making them feel isolated. I just spoke to a woman farmer from Ontario yesterday who had heard me speak, and her husband is depressed. And she says, Elaine, he won't let my daughter help out in the poultry barn. She talked about all of the angst of being in the doldrums. And so that's the next quadrant to the right top corner of your circle. And in the doldrums, you need to not stay there for a long time, hopefully not more than 3 weeks, 3 months max. But doldrums is a place where you become highly disengaged. And Clay, you and I have had many podcasts before about farm transition. And so there are many people in farm transition who are stuck, who are disengaged, who may actually have a physical or low-grade depression. They're avoiding going to get treatment for their doctor. So in the doldrums, it's a place of feeling disenchanted, trapped, angry, and defeated. And wouldn't you know, I did a discovery call this morning with a man from the Midwest who's a little older than I am, and he has a daughter who's giving him lots of grief because of her disenchantment and anger. So if you're in that stage right now, recognize you don't need to stay there and you shouldn't stay there. And so what you need to do is do what we call a mini transition. And I've also had some divorce conversations this week. And I was speaking one time and a guy shouted from the audience. He said, Elaine, divorce is not a mini transition. No, it isn't. It's a big deal. So a mini transition, Clay, is what do you need to let go of? What do you need to hold on to? And what do you need to take on? So for the man, the chicken farmer who's depressed, what he needs to take on is medical treatment, right? So the next stage, and we'll go into each stage deeper if you want, but the next stage is called cocooning, which in our culture in North America is considered weird. So cocooning would be having to go deeper internally for therapy. And the good news that I'd like to announce on this podcast is in my coaching practice about over the last 20 years plus as a certified coach, I'm seeing more and more farmers and spouses going into therapy, which I think is very positive because there's a lot of trauma and a lot of unhealing farm transition stories that are capturing people's whole group. And you're nodding your head as I say this. And so they need to do some deeper healing and inner work so that they can move to that fourth quadrant in the bottom left-hand side of the circle, which is getting ready. And getting ready is to be able to go for it. So I was getting ready in 2003 in May when I found out about the Hudson Institute, and my farming husband, who's planting a very large crop, says, are you sure this is a good idea? And so what I did, Clay, is I went to my pastor and I said, what do you think? And he said, Elaine, you are wired for this. And so I left the farm in the middle of the seeding, which is never the right thing to do as a farm spouse, but I had okay to do that, had someone else to fill in my roles. And that's where I started my journey, Clay, to learn about this cycle of renewal. And it's been an amazing map for me to use in my head for the last 20 years to help families understand life is not stagnant. Life is not a straight line. It's more like this cycle of renewal. And if your wife is in the doldrums and wants to get out of Dodge and has had enough of cows and has had enough of ranching, and you're still in go for it, you're like the guy in my audience who just, he came up and he gave me this huge hug and he said, Elaine, I love my cows. But what I now understand is that my wife no longer loves the calves, and we're in totally different stages. So that's kind of the snapshot.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's very good. Very helpful. Lot to unpack there for sure. So let's kind of just dive in then on the phases. It's a cycle, right? So we will go through these phases at different times in our life. Is that right? I mean, we'll work through each of these phases multiple times.
Right. And to think of the first phase of going for it in the doldrums, those are things that are external to you, Clay. So, you know, your family life, your working cow's life, your preaching life, you have many different lives and hats that you wear as Clay Connery, right? And then the other thing to think about is whether you're aligned in your personal life, because some people live a dual life. They show up as a different kind of person in their workspace or their work life, and they come back to their personal life and they're the totally different person. And I think that creates way too much stress, because it takes too much energy to be playing two different value systems or two different ways of being. And I've said this before with you, counseling is about recovery, but coaching is about discovery. So when people think about living an intentional life, I want them to sit down and think about all of the roles they have. So the other map that goes along with this cycle of renewal and these different four phases that we're talking about is your ability to take your six key roles and assess, say, whenever this podcast is aired, what's your rallying cry for the next 3 months? And so again, if you have a piece of paper, just write down these six words. The first one is self. What does Elaine Fraze need to do to take better care of herself, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally? What's my intentional practices for doing that? Then for you and your marriage and my marriage, what are we doing to cherish our spouses and pay attention to being married? The third one would be family. And you and I have children. And so mine are adult children. My sons are a successor. My daughter lives 45 minutes away and is single and has a roommate. And so what do we want our family to look like? Our immediate family and our extended family. And the next thing is your cows or your ranch or your farm. But then again, there's also people listening who have farm and ranch and they have off farm. And I don't go off the farm a lot, but I have had an off farm practice for over 30 years. And then the next thing is friends, which I think is something you and I could spend a lot of time talking about, better connection, because the pandemic has really wrecked a lot of connection. And then the last piece is community. And we all, those of us who are in rural areas, know that we need to be givers, not takers, because we need to contribute to the unity and the livelihood and the robustness of the culture of our community. So what I just described, self, personal care, couple, marriage, and people who are single who are listening to this, who are not married, you can substitute significant relationships. Like whatever gives you joy and whatever fills your emotional bank account, you need to pay attention. And you know, tomorrow is my girlfriend's 50th wedding anniversary. I bought her a special mug when we were traveling in Mexico this month. Her husband loves to go out to a steakhouse for dinner. And I asked her, I said, how are you going to celebrate that? And she said, well, we don't really have any plans. And I said, well, we're going to do something to celebrate that. Because if you want friends, you need to be consistent in pouring into that relationship.
Yep. Yeah, very good. I appreciate that. And I think that one of the things that you've said here today that needs some more attention is this idea of counseling, and the fact that we should give people permission to seek that out and to participate in counseling, because it's something I think, at least in my neighborhood, that, I listen to a podcast where it's pastors of one particular local church talking, and they talk about the amount of counseling work that they do. And I just don't think that people in my neighborhood are that willing to sit down and talk about their, you know, feelings, experiences, struggles, things like that. And so I think that it's important to give people permission to go and find those counseling relationships and to to work on them and to go as a couple. If you're married, go as a couple and work on those things. And so I think that that's just something that needs to be have attention called to it a little bit more too, is the necessity of that, how much we need that and how helpful it can be.
It's not a sign of weakness. Clay, you and I have also talked about culture before, and in the culture of farming and ranching is what you believe to be true, how you behave towards each other, and how you make decisions. And while I was on holidays on the plane, I read this book, Nonviolent Communication, which we should put in the show notes. It sold 5 million copies. It's by Dr. Marshall Rosenberg. And what's really interesting about nonviolent communication is the language you use and being conscious and being observing rather than judging and asking a person like, what do you need? Like, Clay, how awesome would it be for Miranda to come up to you and say, hey, Clay, what do you need right now? Right?
Yep.
And how, and for you to ask her the same. And so many farmers and ranchers who call us in inquiring about coaching, they go, Elaine, it's a long story. Yeah, everybody has a story. But everybody wants and is longing for drama-free farming and ranching and for communication and conflict resolution. So if you just keep buzzing through your life, putting your boots on, running out the door every day and not paying attention to the choices that you're making or how you're taking care of your physical, mental, and spiritual self, then you're headed for a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's such an important thing you just said is buzzing through life. You know, we're up, we got coffee in the cup, we got boots on and we're out the door without, you know, taking time to assess. And I think that's what we're talking about today, the intentional life, living the intentional life, taking time to reflect and assess. And I think that, you know, these four life stages that we've touched on here so far is part of that assessment. And I think it's also a tool for dealing with ourselves, but it's also a tool for relating to people in our business. What stage am I in? What stage are they in? Is it normal to find, or is it healthy to find that people in the same family unit, say a husband and a wife, are in different stages?
Different stages.
Is that normal?
Well, I think it's very normal because, you know, at the age I am, in my mid-60s, I see a lot of women in agriculture who are done. They've given their best 40 or 50 years to the farm business or to the ranch. And the question I ask in coaching, which gets me fired, is when is it her turn to get what she wants? And people say, really? I said, yeah. I made a 72-year-old man feel really uncomfortable when I asked him that question. And so people love tools, Clay. So if you want to look at creating the next chapter, being an intentional person about what the next chapter might look like, and go for it. I spent that time training in Santa Barbara, California, where I traveled 3 or 4 times. I was reading, I was writing, I was doing my learning pods. I was a mom, I was a farm support spouse, but I didn't do a lot of other things. I sacrificed. I made a choice that I was going to go back to school, not only for my coaching certificate, but also for my mediation and conflict resolution certificate. So I had to say, I cannot just keep adding more and more stuff. And so that's why the mini transition, when I asked the question, what are you going to let go of? And I let go of dusting. And I say that in jest. But, you know, housekeeping is a thing, right? And so I really appreciate that my spouse and I do it together. And he sweeps a lot of stuff outside with the grain bins and keeping stuff clean in our seed farm. So he's great with a broom or a vacuum. But I'm just saying that jokingly. But, you know, people say, well, where is it written that I can't get tools and support in the space and the roles that I have? And then we have the next gen ranchers listening to this. And they want to network. And so that's why they need to listen to podcasts. That's why they want to be in peer groups. That's why they want to go to young farmer and rancher conferences, right? Because they need peer support. They need networking. And professional organizations like Ranching for Profit or the Farm Bureau or whatever, people go to find good ways of doing things. And the other thing that to live an intentional life and not just drift through it is we have to talk about time, right? Yeah. We have to pay attention And Richard Swenson wrote this beautiful book called Margin. And he said, how much white space do you have in your calendar? And my husband still uses a paper calendar on the kitchen wall. That is his time management tool. I, of course, use Google Calendar. And I also use the timer on my phone. And people will say, Elaine, that's pretty pretty weird. But no, I have to show up at certain times for coaching calls, for podcasts, for writing deadlines, for articles. But here's the trick. The trick for me is blocking time. So yeah. My white space time, Clay, is Fridays and Friday afternoons. Friday afternoon is play with grandchildren time. I don't book things then, right? Well, it must be nice to be you. Elaine, I've got too many things to do. Okay. Have you asked for help? And remember the story about Moses. Moses was doing too much, correct?
Right.
So he had to delegate. And so, Clay, my question is for the farmers and ranchers listening to this, don't blame people for how awful your life is. Step back and look at, what am I doing that I can delegate to someone else? Or what do I need to stop doing?
Yep, for sure. The first thing Moses had to do was be humble enough to take advice from his father-in-law.
Exactly. And we have a whole podcast on in-law.
Yeah. So are there things that typically trigger these different life stages? You know, we might find ourselves in go for it now, but is there something that typically triggers the doldrums stage or how does that work?
Well, I would think the doldrums are triggered by significant life events that cause what we've talked about before, being in the neutral zone. So the neutral zone is the place of not knowing. Something needs to end, which for young farmers and ranchers is the uncertainty of not knowing when they're going to get equity, or not having good written agreements, or not knowing what's in the will for the estate plan, or not even being compensated fairly. And so doldrums hit when there's a sense of feeling disengaged and trapped. And in the cycle of renewal map, it's kind of like a breaking point. And for some people, that comes with an incident or an event. And for some people, it's kind of like it just builds up over years. And all of a sudden, they look back and they went, oh, my goodness, it's been 5 years since I came back from college and nothing's changed. I don't have what I was promised when I came back from college. So there's a lot of variable factors, Clay, of how you can get kind of pushed. And for me, the death of my mother in the middle of harvest in 1998, when she was only 65, didn't put me in the doldrums, but it put me into a deep cocooning phase where I said, look, grief is sucking all this energy out of me. I've had a huge loss in my life. I need to just take care of myself and my family. And I let go of any church activities. I let go of boards I was on. And I said, let's just journey through this grief until we come out into a better place of being. And that's another thing that I'm finding in the coaching right now is grief just doesn't happen when people die. Grief happens when there's loss. And for aging ranchers, it's loss of ability, Clay. They can't do it anymore. They don't have the cognitive quickness they used to have or their physical mobility. And then comes the question, well, what's my value or what's my worth? And so then I think it's, you know, in terms of the cycle of renewal, they need to do some reflecting on what a good day looks like to them on the ranch. And they need to be able to communicate that.
So as far as the doldrums are concerned, or I guess with all of these stages, but we'll try to take them one at a time if we can.
Okay.
I would imagine, given the goodness of God, that he designs our life and the stages that we go through in our life to do important work in our lives. So sometimes the answer isn't to escape this stage as quickly as possible, but it's to allow that stage to do the work it was designed to do in our life. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And who comes to mind is Job, right? and I was listening to an interview about that recently too. And he didn't blame. And that's the other thing that farmers, And ranchers are very quick to go to blame and judgment. If this daughter-in-law would just leave, my life would be so much better. Or if my dad would just sign this, my life. Okay, you can change you. And God has wired all of us with different gifts and responsibilities, but he's also given us free will. And the free will means is we get to set and we get to choose our mindset, our attitude, and our perspective. And in the doldrums, to get out of it, creating an exit plan, seeking therapy, going to the doctor, even though it's not time to get your semi-license, like, you know, whatever it takes, and also taking on some new learning. Like, I just met a person today who deals with helping people online deal with migraines, right? So you don't work your body like a machine so that your body breaks down and then all of a sudden you're in chronic pain. You have to pay attention. And yeah. So I think a lot of this, Clay, is paying attention to what's going on for you in your life right now. And then moving into the next phase, like cocooning, would, you know, journaling, writing stuff down. And the other thing is maybe you need a break. Maybe you actually need physical removal from the scene of the work and doing some traveling or doing something that fills you with joy, that makes you lose all track of time so that you actually can have fun. So here's the deal. When's the last time on your farm or ranch you actually had fun? And yeah. What does fun mean to you?
Yeah. Yep, for sure. We have to take some intentional time to think about that and to create that margin, create that white space in the calendar to be able to do that. You know, that's a very important piece.
Well, and you and I practice other spiritual practices such as prayer and quiet time. And I use a devotional called Lectio. You can get it on your phone. It's a great app. It's Lectio 365. It's morning and afternoon. Can this beautiful Scottish or British person speak to you and help you sleep at night? But for me, having that time of space and prayer and quiet and asking for wisdom, because if you have a day like I had yesterday, I had two coaching calls where I had people in tears almost the entire time. And at the end of my session, I always ask, are you okay if I pray with you? And they always say yes. Because we are all created to have a longing for a connection with something greater than us that we believe gives us hope. Because we also know that Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And my girlfriend in New Zealand came back from Ireland, gave me these beautiful sterling silver earrings that are tree of life earrings. And that's what it reminds me of. And we want our families to be a whole tree, to be a tree of life. And when I do coaching and hear stories like I heard this morning where my brother's not talking to me and my brother's not talking to me for different reasons. Oh, and my brother took me to court and my brother is abusing my mom and stealing all her money. You look at that and you go, are you willing to be intentional about being a reconciler? And this whole, there's a book now called Rules of Estrangement by Josh Coleman and another one called Fault Lines by Carl Pillemeyer, and Lance Woodbury has written on these. And that's very critical for listeners to think too, because if you are not intentional about letting go of past hurt and regret, if you're not intentional about making quick repair, a branch of your tree could be cut off and then you've lost that part of the family forever because you haven't paid attention to what's going on.
Right. Yep.
Or you've tried and come up against a brick wall.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. You know, and, but for the grace of God, right? I mean, those relationships can be restored, but practically, are they generally? No. You know, we do see that that's why maintenance is so important in these relationships, is because the loss that is created in losing them and the difficulty of repairing them once they're broken. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Those things aren't repaired.
Or insurmountable.
Right.
Or the other party does not receive the olive branch that you're extending. And it's up, because that's a very positive conflict behavior, is to reach out. Another one is to express emotion and say, I'm so disappointed and I'm so hurt and frustrated because I have no idea what offense I've caused and it has never been my intention. And so we should also just sit a moment on the word intention, because my intention is never to cause harm. My intention is to find out or seek understanding. And so intention is only going on in our heads right now, Clay. And you and I cannot help the listeners unless we speak, because that's what the listeners hear. The listeners cannot read our minds right now. And so when we speak, we can give them tools or we can create story and the power of story. But then we need to hear back from them, what effect did these words and actions have on you?
Yeah.
Intent, action, effect. And remember, love does not read minds.
Yeah. Yeah. The intention is the important thing. And the seeking to understand before we seek to be understood. You know, I think that's a big communication strategy that people are needing. And it comes down to that intentional life rather than just saying what feels good in the moment. is paying attention and saying what needs said, maybe not right now. You know, maybe we take some time and we figure out how can we, seek to understand before we say, this is how I understood or how I received what you said. You know, I think that's part of the intentional life.
In Rosenberg's book, he talks a lot about empathy. He talks about observation, observing, making an observation without making a judgment. And, you know, we're coming into busy season, right? Or whatever that is. I hate the word busy. I hate it. Oh, Elaine, you're so busy. No, I just say I have a very full life. I prefer the word full. But I choose the fullness, right? And I thank God for the energy that I have. And I make conscious decisions to create, hopefully, a better physical body to have the energy to do what I need to be doing. But what I'd like to just mention is the whole idea of paying attention also to your marriage. And in my notes here, I have the caring list, which is a very simple tool where you just take a page of paper for you and for your spouse. You write the letter on the numbers 1 to 12 on a line, each line, and then you fill out, these are the 12 ways that you make me feel cared for. And you fill out your list, and then you and Miranda would switch them around and you'd read each other's list. And it's amazing because it's you know, there's a saying also, it's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And there's the book that was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Well, yeah, you should sweat the small stuff because it's all these little things, Clay, in how we go through our day-to-day living that either build to 1,000 wonderful choices that pour into the other person and create a culture that's loving and caring and low drama, or it's the opposite. And so what responsibility are you as a rancher and as a spouse or a woman in agriculture, what responsibility are you taking for how you're showing up every day? And my niece is a coach. She works with a venture company in Toronto. And I love having conversations with her because in our last phone call, she says, Elaine, I just want to show up with the best version of me being me. And that's a great way to approach it, right? Be the best you can be, whoever you're showing up with.
Right. Yep. Yep. Very good. So moving on to cocooning, what are we hoping to accomplish in this phase?
So this is the place where you need to go for healing and nurturing and the development of yourself. And the other thing is I remember a chicken farmer one time, Clay, standing up and said, Elaine, we're not 21 anymore. And I go, good observation, you know, because a lot of people in their heads are still 18 or 21, but if they looked on the birthday calendar, they're actually 56. And so this is a time of renewal. And in our church, we have retreats. So there's a men's retreat and there's a women's retreat. And it's supposed to be a time and an opportunity of a focus on spiritual renewal. So that's one piece of cocooning would be spiritual renewal. Another piece would be, what are you doing to grow as a person? And I'm wired, according to StrengthsFinders 2.0, to be a lifelong learner and to be positive. So you tell me what books you're reading. I tell you what books I'm reading, what podcasts we're listening to. I'm always curating, which is the new term, curating what goes into my brain, Clay. I do not watch Law and Order, FBI, Chicago Fire, and all the other stuff my husband likes to watch. I can't stand that stuff. To me, that's a colossal waste of time. But to my husband, it's a great sedative. Okay? Yep. Puts him to sleep. He has a nap watching TV. Another thing in cocooning is time of solitude, which on farms and ranches, we maybe take for granted. But instead of solitude and kicking the ground, are you looking up? Hmm. Are you enjoying what millions of people would love to have, which is the stars, the ranch, the ambiance, the environment that you're in? A lot of pastors I know did cocooning by taking a sabbatical. They had just had so much turmoil. And in our town, three pastors were all on sabbatical at the same time because they needed a break, right? So, and again, we talked about counseling already, time with friends, meditation and prayer, and art classes. Now, you have your daughter's art behind you in this podcast, and I have my grandchild's art. And art, to me, is a beautiful way of creating something beautiful. And Steve Bell, who's one of my favorite guitar entertainers, he's Canadian. He has a line in one of his songs about beauty creating energy, which is why I like to have fresh flowers on my desk all the time, which in February and March is kind of hard, but I will go and buy myself roses. And people say, well, did you have a fight with Wes or something? No, I can buy my own roses when I want roses or cut flowers or a nice cactus plant or whatever, right? So the cocooning thing is what you're going to do to nurture self. Now, today I'm wearing my pearls for you, Clay. These are very expensive pearls that I was given by my husband. And because pearls remind me of my mom, and I like pearls. And some people on TikTok say she's a sweet grandma. So apparently pearls also make me look like a grandma. So who knew? But I just heard a podcast about luxury. And Neen James has this new research on how we can put luxury into our lives. And luxury to ranchers is, I don't know, a new belt buckle maybe? I have no idea. But you're laughing.
A new cowboy hat.
Yeah. See, I knew it would be a new hat. But again, fresh flowers. I can't, I discovered in Mexico that Mexican women really love their perfume. And so I smelt a lot of really nice smelling people when I was traveling. But in Canada and the US, I've stopped wearing perfume in public because too many people have allergies to it. But I spray Chanel No. 5 perfume on my wrist every morning because I'm at home most of the time. But to me, that's a luxury because it makes me feel good. So my question for you in cocooning is, what are you doing to take care of yourself? And how are you nurturing that? And then how can you give that surprise and delight to Miranda or to your kids or to your family or to a complete stranger?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah. Really helpful. And then we move on to the getting ready cycle or the getting ready phase. What is that about? What's that entail?
Well, that was the example I gave in 2003 when I was getting ready to be a coach and doing my conflict training. And I'm thinking of the ranchers and farmers right now who are next gen. They're exploring options. They're reading lots. They're talking to people. They're having fun. Getting ready might also include music, art, and drama. We went to a live play when we were in Mexico, which was so much fun because we hadn't done that in like over 4 years. Getting ready is really where you want to take some risks, and it's kind of trying things out. So here's the other deal. Where is it written that you have to dive into the deep end without trying out what the temperature of the water is first, right? So maybe there's a rancher who is a bachelor or somebody who needs help, or you would like to get a mentor. And I think that it would be wise for you to have a mentor who's not necessarily your family. And that's, other organizations that we talked about before where you can reach out to people. And I've had people very intentionally reach out to me and say, Elaine, I'd like to be a farm family coach. So we set up a time and we talk together and I give them some ideas and tools of how they might want to go that way. So it's just really getting ready is really getting clear, Clay, on where you're in flow, where you have confidence, what your identity is, what your purpose is. And that's going to change because I'm a grandma now. And my little 5-year-old granddaughter said, Grandma, can you come watch me skate? And thankfully I could last night between 6 and 7, but I had a meeting at 8 o'clock and I was so thankful that I go, yeah, I'd love to. And she was so thrilled that I would just come and look at her and watch her and her sister, you know, have fun skating. And grandpa came too. And then grandpa gets to chat with other people at the rink. And so you just really need to think about what you're doing purposely to get that connection, Clay. And what is your purpose? Because your purpose may change as you get older or what you want to focus your time on.
So would you say then that we spend most of our time in go for it and getting ready? And then we kind of transition through the doldrums and cocooning at different stages in our life, kind of, I would guess those are kind of like one day you wake up and you realize I am the oldest. I am the matriarch. You know, my parents are gone. I am the generation that people are looking up to saying they're the ones with the wisdom. They're the ones with the resources. We all kind of, everybody comes to those different phases in their life where they recognize, oh, now I'm in that place of the person that I've been looking up to all this time. And so then maybe that kicks off a doldrums phase and a cocooning phase and then into the getting ready. But would you say that we spend most of our time in getting ready and go for it? Or is most of our time spent in one or the other?
Yeah, I think those are the places that most of us want to be. But it, again, life events like an unexpected traumatic, tragic death of like my mom in the middle of harvest with an asthma attack or my sister being killed by a drunk driver. Those are life events that you weren't expecting, right? And so you need to nurture that and deal with the grief and loss and continue on to the cycle. And then the other thing we can talk about are what are the skills to be self-renewing? And funnily enough, one of them is spending time in nature. So where do you think farmers and ranchers spend a lot of time? But do they enjoy that time, Clay? And do they really appreciate? They love to hunt, right? I can see here guys already now. Oh, I love it when I go hunting and I get my elk or get my moose or my deer. And then I have a brother-in-law who's retired now, who's really into fly fishing and loves to hike. And my other sibling relatives love to hike and all spend outside paddleboarding or whatever. So, you know, whatever is self-renewing for you, you need to pay attention to what that is. And I think that one of the things as an extrovert for me that I want to pay more attention in 23 is consistency and nurturing friendship. Because when I look back or see pictures of how we used to gather as young moms at the lake and take care of our children together and how we used to exchange kids, I'll have your kid on Tuesday if you have my kid on Thursday, whatever we would do intentionally to help each other have a bettering phase of being a parent of young children. I'm really concerned, especially for the women listening to this podcast, as to all of the many expectations that they're piling on to themselves and living an Instagram life, which I think is highly dangerous because comparing what your life looks like to what somebody else's life looks like on social media is a recipe for putting yourself in the doldrums because comparison is a joy stealer.
Yeah. And nobody puts the destroyed, trashy looking backseat of their car on Instagram because their kids were eating their Happy Meal on their way to the third practice that night. You know, they curate. You mentioned curation earlier, and that's what Instagram is. It's somebody's best foot forward. They're curating that, and they want everybody to think I live this glamorous life. And so when we compare ourselves, our everyday to what somebody else has curated for the purpose of making themselves look better, to be honest, probably than they actually are. It's like you said, comparison's a joy stealer, and that can end poorly.
I just want to mention some of the research too. This is old research, but still I think very valid. There's a woman psychologist in Saskatchewan called Dr. Nikki Girard. I've never met her personally, but she wrote a survey of 12 years of studying stress and connection in farm families. And her research was called What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. And I don't know if you subscribe to that or not, but it's how we manage those bumps in the road of life. But she said three things. It's connection. So connection to community is really important. It's communication with yourself. When is the last time you actually sat down and thought about intentionally what you need in the moment, what your spouse needs and what your family needs? And then, so it's communication, connection. But the third piece, Clay, is celebration. Mm. How do you celebrate the fact that calving is over? How do you celebrate the last field that's been planted? How do you celebrate that nobody got hurt this year, right? Physically. We don't know about the emotional hurts because people don't talk about them, but maybe we do know. And maybe now you've got some new skills and new language to sit and seek that understanding with the people who are hurting emotionally and their bank account's pretty low emotionally. So connect, celebrate, and community. And I think what we've lost and have to be more intentional about is how do we want to build community and how do we want to celebrate? I'm a big believer in handwritten cards, and I will send notes of encouragement till the cows come home. But unfortunately, I sent Valentine's cards from the hotel in Calgary to my grandchildren on February 2nd, and they still have not yet arrived. So sometimes, which is all to say, sometimes we can make beautiful plans and have great intentions, but it may not end up the way we had hoped.
Yeah, very good. So the title of this episode is going to be Living Intentionally or Living the Intentional Life, something like that. So how do we live intentionally in all of these phases? I think that part of it is recognizing the phase we're in, but also making sure that we are, operating appropriate given the phase we're in, right? So I guess that's how do we live intentionally with these phases in mind?
I think just paying attention, Clay, to how we're feeling. And to be curious about taking on new things that may give us a different sense of purpose or joy or renewal, journaling, art, conversation, connection, solitude, spiritual renewal, whatever you think the discipline or practice might help you. I get a lot of joy out of making homemade watercolor cards. I've taught my grandchildren how to do it. And they make beautiful cards as thank yous for their teachers and the people that they interact with. Reading. I would really encourage people to start paying attention to what drags them down. There's another whole practice called The Artist Way by Julia Cameron, where you get wake up in the morning and you do morning pages, which is you write out for 2 pages, just free flow thought. I haven't done that for a while. I have done it in the past, but I like to journal at night. When my mother took 2 weeks to die in palliative care, every night I would journal 5 things that I was thankful for or 5 things of how I could see God working in the day, including the day I got out of the parking lot without my Visa card working properly. Like just paying attention to what is going on around you. And doing it with a sense of curiosity and lifelong learning and positivity and gratefulness. I came back from a country where I had to put my toilet paper in the wastebasket for 3 weeks. So I am really thankful for small things like being able to put my toilet paper in the toilet.
Right.
Right. So there's another thing, traveling to other places where people have a totally different life experience than you may boost you out of those doldrums and put you back into go for it or into getting ready to help you see the world is a great and glorious place of different things. And there is a lot of sadness in our world right now. And so the other thing I would encourage listeners to think about is what can you give? How can you serve? And there's a book, can't remember the author's name, but it's called The Reviving Ophelia, and it's about teenage depression. And she said, the best thing for a depressed teenager is to go out and serve somebody else and stop thinking about your life and your angst and give and serve somebody else. And so that's my other curiosity for community, is how are we showing up in our churches and our curling rinks and our bowling alleys and our hockey rinks? How are we giving to help for the good of all?
WorkingCows.net/286 will be the show notes page for today, and we'll try to get the links to some of the books that Elaine mentioned and some of the resources that Elaine mentioned there today. Anything else that you wanted to say on this subject, or anything else that we need to cover?
One last thing, if you want to have some fun, is collect a bunch of magazines. Faith magazines probably would be helpful, and whatever your favorite farm magazines are, Oprah or whoever you like, and chop them up and just take words and words that call out to you or resonate or mean something to you, and put them on a stiff piece of cardboard, whatever size you want. And I've done that 3 or 4 times. And Clay, when I was 50 years old, I cut out a picture of a woman with a rubber inner tube sitting on the end of a dock in a nice lake. And I thought, wow, I would love to have that dock. It took 15 years for that to happen. But I now have a place of solitude and quiet and retreat that I can go to with water, which was a gift. And you know, people say, well, you have such an amazing life. And I go, yes, but I've also been depressed. I've also lost family members at a young age. We all have our own story. And it's not to compare story. It's to learn from that story. What has your story taught you? And how can you embrace making amazing decisions to keep well in all of those roles and hats that we talked about, so that you can have the life you've always wanted? And that's my last book by John Ortberg, The Life You've Always Wanted. And we've talked about that before, to be rich towards God and rich in relationship, because I know you're not taking it with you when you pass from this world. So what do you want to leave behind?
Yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times, people say you have a great life. Well, it's because people are intentional about not allowing life to just happen to them, but being intentional about having a plan and having goals and leaving margin in their life to accomplish those goals. That's what leads to having a great life. Is it's not by accident. It didn't happen, you know, because the stars aligned necessarily. It's because we were intentional. We created margin and made
it
happen.
It's also the blessing of a good Father, our Heavenly Father,
yeah.
Because we get to enjoy the fruit of the work of our hand, but all of the blessing in whatever is produced in our farms or ranches doesn't come from us. We're part of the conduit and the channel of the work, but the blessing ultimately is from our Heavenly Father, right? And to have come from a really hard place of deep doldrums, which I was in 1984, and to be thankful for good emotional and mental health, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, your health is your wealth. And many farmers and ranchers have been putting that off. Mm. Pay attention in all the things that we've talked about today. And if readers and listeners want to reach out, I'm available at farmfamilycoach.com. Happy to do a free 15-minute discovery call with you. Haven't done a lot of presentations lately on intentional living, Clay, but maybe this will inspire some Stronger Together conferences or Women in Ag or Farmer and Rancher conferences for people to really have a different mindset about not just drifting through their life, but paying attention to what really counts. So thank you for this time today.
Yeah. Elaine, thank you for your time today.
Very good stuff there. As always with Elaine, really appreciate her taking time to join me once again and share about what we can do to get the most out of the stages of life that we find ourselves in. Coming up next week on the Working Cows podcast, really excited to talk to Jay Young. Jay is from Kansas, and Jay is a seed stock producer of Red Angus Genetics. And he is going to be sharing with us not necessarily about genetics. We'll probably talk about that a little bit, but mostly we're going to be talking about using compost teas and compost extracts and making compost and applying it to pasture and farm ground and those kinds of things, and some of the things that they have been seeing as they've been experimenting with it over the years. We'll probably talk about Johnson Soo bioreactors and different ways of making compost, but then also how to make a compost extract and use it on our place. So if you're looking for some information about that, we will be talking about it on the next episode of the Working Cows podcast, coming your way real soon. We'll see you then.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.